Good evening, everybody. Welcome once again to Voice of Reason Radio. Your hosts, Chris Honholtz and Richard Story, again with you this week. And in case you're wondering, it is March 17th, 2017. And yes, we were not here again last week. We always are grateful for your patience when we can't be. We try to put that out. Rich, you were kind enough to put it out for us last week. Both you and I we got hit kind of at the same time with different stuff, but both of us had to deal with some health issues last week. How are you feeling this week, brother?
Oh, I'm doing a lot better than I was. And as always, I'm better than I deserve to be. But yeah, I had... I don't think it was serious anyway. I believe it ultimately turned out to be a pretty bad ear infection. I woke up a couple of mornings and a couple of different times found blood coming out of my ear, and I already suffer from tinnitus, which is really more annoying than anything else, but just kind of muddled through and tried a few things, but I think that's cleared up, at least for the pain portion of the ear infection. So just kind of taking it a day at a time. I kind of hard-headed and stubborn and didn't really want to go to the doctor. I already have a doctor's appointment next week, so I was just kind of trying to stretch this out and just kind of take care of it all at one time.
Amen.
How about you? Are you feeling better?
Well, I'm pending a little spackle and paste procedure coming up on the 31st. Apparently, I've got a hole in my belly, not the ulcer type, but I got what they call an umbilical hernia, and it looks like I got some parts of my guts trying to push past the muscles in my abdominal wall, and so I've got this nice little stick-em-outie I used to have an innie on my belly button. Well, now it's very much an outie, and it looks like it's like a child's lips trying to go. So unfortunately, that's kind of been going on for a few months, but it didn't bug me, and I was really kind of hoping it. Like you, I'm stubborn. I don't want to go to the doctor, and. I was hoping it was just like, hey, I gotta lose some weight, and we've been going back to the gym and stuff. Well, I discovered doing that death row machine probably aggravated that umbilical hernia, and now I'm on light duty. I basically can't lift anything over 10 pounds. And the doctor, in examining the umbilical hernia, I thought was trying to examine my kidneys because he pushed so hard on the belly button. I felt it on my spine, so I told him, I was like, I'm like sorry doc, I didn't mean to yelp at you, but that hurt.
Don't you love it when they say there may be some discomfort, but they never tell you, hey, you need to get ready, this is gonna hurt like the dickens.
Well, I tell you, I was ready to give up the nuclear launch codes, and I don't know them. I would have made them up. It hurt. So come the 31st of this month, I will, at 9 a.m. Pacific time, I will be in dreamland as they punch a hole in my belly, throw some spackle and paste in there, put it back together. And, for the next few days, I'll kind of be in and out of it probably because I'll be on pain meds. So that weekend, Rich, you can have off because I don't think I'll be in any condition to recording anything.
Actually, I was thinking it might make an interesting show to record with you on the pain meds.
I might actually make more sense. Who knows? Oh, brother, I love doing this every week, and as much as we can, and I'm always grateful that we can come together, and we have fun doing it, and God is so gracious to let us do that. And, we got a message this week, and we'll leave the name private. That was just a message from that person to us, but I just kind of wanted to share what was written, because this is why we do it. I mean, there are two things that we hope to achieve every time. Number one, that we glorify Jesus Christ. That's our number one goal. Number two is that we edify the saints. And we got a message where the persons, they had wanted to take a moment to just say a word of thanks to us. That apparently, I almost don't want to read it because it humbles me so much. You two brothers have had such a profound impact on my walk with Christ. You always have an encouraging word for me here on this social media platform. I listen to your podcast over and over again at work. I've learned a ton from both of you, even with all the glitches. Keep them coming, and God bless you always. And Rich, we almost don't even want to do a show tonight. That right there, it really sets my heart ablaze, because we're a small show. We get a lot of loyal listeners, but we're not huge. And yet, when you get something like that, it's not about us, but if what we have said impacts somebody in that way, then what I hope we've done is that we did it right. We pointed them to Christ, and that is affecting how they walk with the Lord. I mean, we can pack up the show and we can just call it a night, because I can't top that. I don't know. What about you, Rich? I can't top that.
You know, we always love getting feedback, whether it's good, bad, ugly, criticism, pointers, tips, whatever. But I have to say, in all the time that you and I both have spent doing online radio, I think that little message did more to recharge me and to encourage me and to give thanks to the Lord, because without him, we wouldn't be able to do anything, much less this show. But to the brother that sent us that message, I just want him to know that, brother, that brought me such a huge, huge amount of encouragement this week. And we thank you not only for listening, but thank you for being a fellow brother in Christ.
Amen. Amen. Folks, we don't put that out there so we can get more stuff like that. Any input, we're always appreciative, okay? But we just wanted to share that because that touched us. It really humbled us, and we wanted to share and say thank you for those of you guys who are loyal and do tell us whether you agree or disagree. We're grateful. You know, and another thing, Rich, you pointed this out to me earlier today. We got another nod, another thank you, and this one came courtesy of Michelle Leslie, who has her own blog site. And folks, if you don't know of Michelle Leslie, gals, you really need to go read her stuff. She really writes solid articles, sound theological articles that will benefit you. So please go spend some time with her and check out her blog. But she shared on her Facebook page, and Rich, you tagged me in it, another blog site that, honestly, if I have been told about this and I have completely forgotten, I'm sorry. I don't recognize it, so please forgive me. I'm sorry, but it comes from narrowmindedwoman.com, who has posted a resource of her recommended podcast. Now, Miss Narrow-Minded Woman, if we know you, and again, I'm sorry if I forget who you are. Thank you. We got included, Rich, on a big list of, I mean, some big podcasts here. I mean, you got things like Alpha and Omega Ministries with Dr. James White, Apologia Radio. Okay, Bible Thumping Wingnut. They're okay. They're okay. I'm going to pay for that later. I just know it. But I mean, guys like, you know, folks like Dr. Moeller on The Briefing, our good friends Landon and Nate over at Fire Way are on here. Fighting for the Faith, Chris Roseborough. I mean, there are some really awesome podcasts on here, and she did it alphabetically, so that's not, we're not at the bottom or top for any particular reason. It's alphabetical, but towards the bottom, here we are, Voice of Reason Radio. And I'm like, are you kidding me? How did we get named? I swear there's like five people out there that listen to us. And this person, this narrow-minded woman, and if we know you, please remind me, because I feel like such an idiot right now because I don't remember. But she writes, I just realized that these two gentlemen have this podcast. I'm not sure why I missed it for so long. That's amazing to me to hear someone say that. Rich, I'll let you say for you, but to hear someone say, I don't know why I haven't been listening to this for so long. How did I miss this? Rich, wow. That is amazing.
The list of such solid theological teachings and radio shows that's in that list, I can't help but wonder if we're not just the comedy relief.
You know what? That could be. Maybe she just, maybe she's just, you know, throwing us in there for, you know, hey, you got to at least listen to somebody who will make you choke once in a while. So, and, but you know what? Thank you guys. Thank you. That was just so very awesome. And we wanted to start that out sharing those with you guys because we really appreciate it. It makes a huge difference to us to know that we're actually doing something that's edifying to the saints. So thank you. Thank you. So, Rich, any thoughts before we dive into tonight's subject?
Just one more quick bit of information. If you're listening to this show, even if it's past March the 18th, do me a favor, and if you're friends with my wife on Facebook, Suzanne Story, tag her in a post and send her your words of sympathy. As of tomorrow, March the 18th, it is our 22nd wedding anniversary. So all of you that are out there listening that know her, send her your condolences and words of sympathy for having put up with me for 22 years now. And I hope and pray that the Lord blesses me with 22 more years with her here on this earth.
Praise God, brother. Praise God. Well, congratulations a day early from me and from my family. And Suzanne, I'm not going to say condolences. I'm going to say thank you for sharing your husband with me every week when we do this show, and your patience and your support of him makes a huge difference to us over on this side of the U.S. And you have been so kind and so gracious to us, and I want to say happy anniversary and thank you for being such a wonderful and loving and supportive wife to a good friend of mine. So congratulations to both of you guys.
Thank you, brother.
All right, so we started off with a really positive note, and this is one of those topics that's probably going to cause us some heartache from some people. We're trying very hard not to to make this a drubbing, but I wanted to discuss something. I shared it via our Facebook page earlier and Twitter page earlier this week, and a conversation that I got engaged in that just left me shaking my head and made me realize once again why the issue of religion and Christianity and the modern political system making strange bedfellows, it's an important topic to have to come back to visit every once in a while. And we're going to do it again. And we're probably going to get yelled at again. And Rich, I'm sorry, but I think we need to talk about it, because I think this conversation that I had actually, I think it has a lot of bearing on what we've tried to say before about not putting our hope in the political system. And I think the conversation that I ended up in, this is the fruit of it. This is American evangelicalism's fruit of throwing the word aside for political pragmatism. So, Rich, you saw some of that. I think you saw the ones I shared, right?
Oh, yeah. And I'll just let you just jump right into it, because I don't want to get ahead of myself in any comments.
Yeah, you're just going to let me dive right under the bus. Okay, thank you. All right, so let's go ahead and let's do that. Let me lay a little groundwork here. And I think we've talked about this before, but let's do a little history lesson. Evangelicalism and politics. Okay, you think back to about the 1980s when we started seeing things like the religious right, moral majority, you know, guys like Jerry Falwell and such. I mean, we really got engaged. We'd seen what happened in the 60s and 70s. The rejection of Christianity, the growth of the hippie movement, the growth of, you know, drugs and sexuality out the window. And so we became involved. Now, I'm not going to say that's a bad thing. Christians getting involved in the electoral process is a good thing. Okay, please, nothing we say tonight will be an endorsement of abandoning our God-given gift of being involved in politics. We are unique among the nations where we have this kind of voice. And I think good stewardship means we get involved and to the extent that we feel we can do it. Okay. I don't think anybody should dictate what that level is for any Christian. Okay. Now, not me, not Rich, not anybody. Okay. You got to make that decision for yourself based on what God is doing in your life. But we became extremely involved. We became a demographic. You know, we were called the moral majority, the religious right. And more often than not, Christian values, because of our mind being informed by Scripture, would align with, at that time, the Republican Party on moral issues. So Republicans sought demographics that, of people like the moral majority and Christians because it bolstered their platforms. Okay, so there was this give and take. We partnered. And in the process of that, we became synonymous as Christians as being part of, if you said Republican, you said Christian. If you said Christian, you said Republican. That's the connection that got drawn. Right, wrong, or indifferent, that's what it became. If you were a Christian, you were a Republican. And when it came to issues like marriage, life, sexuality, it wasn't just Christians talking about biblical issues anymore. These were political issues driven by religiously motivated politicians and activists. That's how it became to be seen. So it wasn't that it was I as a Christian are telling you this is what the Bible says. I am now saying, Republican Party, you're going to do this. This is the moral and right thing to do. And the Republican Party wanting my vote would do that. And then the rest of the world would go, Republicans make choices based on religious activists. Okay, that's how it was being seen. You start to fast forward a little bit and, you know, go through the 80s and 90s, and you got people that were chafing under this. They hated the moral religious involvement, and they did not want people telling them that they couldn't abort their babies and kill them. They didn't want people saying homosexuality was wrong. They didn't want people saying there was only one type of marriage. And so they worked time over and over again to rebel against that. And that the postmodern worldview that evolved eventually coming out in the 90s, and I remember early 90s when I graduated high school, that was the issue that was starting to come up, was this, the issues of self-esteem, the idea of, you know, you decide who you are, other people can't tell you what you are, and that evolved into everybody has their own truth. I mean, by the time I was out of college late 90s, that was all the stuff that I had been, and the groundwork floor of a lot of that. And now it was starting to go full force. And you get into the 2000s, and everyone has their own truth. So you've got the postmodern worldview starts to take effect, and you now have this us versus them mentality. I mean, you think about it this way. If my truth is that homosexuality is right, abortion is okay, gay marriage is acceptable, then how can you, Mr. Republican Christian, use your Bible to tell me it's wrong? I don't accept your truth. I have my truth. And so it wasn't an issue of having a discussion about biblical truth and what truth is. This was now a political football, and it could easily be dismissed. And so by the time President Obama comes to power of the, or take, you know, takes the presidency, the culture is now galvanized for this all-out cultural warfare, and it's all with this in mind. That's the backdrop. Christians are Republicans, and they just want to force their truth on everyone else. Okay, because we got in bed with the Republican Party, and we weren't concerned per se. And it's not to say that no Christians were, but I'm talking about from a American evangelical broad spectrum, that we were concerned about political victory. And so that's what we were seen as. We were just another political demographic. Well, under President Obama, progressivists found an ally for their cause. In fact, not just an ally, but he was someone who was willing to ramrod that down the culture's throat. And he didn't care who he stepped on. I'll tell you what, the man spoke very well. I mean, one of the reasons he got so much backing during his elections, as opposed to the one who was supposed to succeed him, Hillary Clinton, is he comes off as polite. He comes off as well-spoken. Yes, his speech, he reads everything from a teleprompter, I know. But he has a persona that is likable. You know, Mitt Romney says, hey, it's hard to win against Santa Claus, who will give you everything. That's what people perceived him as. He was this nice guy that was going to give them what they wanted. And you take Hillary Clinton, I don't care how well you liked her or didn't like her, that woman was shrill. I mean, she just came off as harsh. Nobody liked this person. I mean, the demographics on the voter turnout was, she didn't even come close to garnering the types of people that supported President Obama. And that's how he presented himself. But he was willing to ramrod down people's throats, and he would shake his finger at you like a stern father about how disappointed he was in you for accepting a truth that you wanted to force on everyone else. And he played that to the T. He had a commanding presence about that. And this was a man who had the gall to stand at one of his first State of the Union addresses and lecture, of all people, the Supreme Court for disagreeing with him on something. The guy had some gumption. And as a result of that, the GOP looks at what's going on, and they see this this tide turning. The GOP is no longer valuing Christians as a demographic per se. Why? Because we no longer have a hold on the truth. Truth is this silly putty, flexible thing that you can do anything with. And the culture isn't buying it anymore. They don't like the whole, there's one way to do things. Hey, you know, I can piecemeal things together, and I can come up with whatever I like, and that suits me, and you can do what you want. Hey, that's great. And I think the Republicans picked up on that. And we began to see that by the time that President Obama was going into full swing, and there was some pushback for what he did, because we saw Republicans win the House and the Senate during the midterm of his first term. But the man never stopped doing what he was doing. And it was an interesting perspective, because people were saying, hey, when Bill Clinton had that kind of pushback, he said, hey, we got to listen to you. We got to work together. Not President Obama. He kept charging forward. And he really ran with that postmodern view, and really rallied people to him with that, the American public. And the GOP, recognizing there was a change in the winds, more or less abandoned conservative principles, and they began to take a centrist view, and they began saying, maybe we need to back off of moral issues because we lose elections. And by the second term, his second term, when he was going up against Romney for that election, we saw them again picking centrist persons to run. And America, people who had traditionally supported the GOP, were starting to get angry because the GOP wasn't listening anymore. They were doing their own thing. Yet we got to defeat Obama, so we're going to continue to support him. And for 8 years, President Obama ran virtually unchecked. Christian values meant nothing in politics anymore. And since we had there was no longer a central moral source for what we believed, and everybody could believe their own thing, the Republicans we don't want to be perceived as big bad meanies, so we're going to kind of abandon some of these issues. And you fast forward to 2016, and that election comes, and man, people are angry. Angry. Rich, you and I talked about this. When Trump started to become the front runner, there were persons like ourselves who said, yeah, we get it. People are angry. When's the last time you made a good decision when you were angry? And that argument fell completely on deaf ears, remember?
Oh, yes, most definitely. I think one of our first shows was addressing Trump's candidacy as president and, a Christian's duty and values when it comes to voting and choosing a leader for the country. But backtracking a little bit on some of what you were saying, also all of what you just put out there also shows evidence that our country is ruled and governed, at least when it comes to its thoughts and emotions, more by Hollywood than it is any other type of semi-rational thinking, because part of the deal with President Obama is that he had the support of all the liberals in Hollywood and the media, and over the course of that 8 years, you know, they really became spoiled, because their voice was the predominant voice being heard across the world throughout those 8 years. And I think when all of that got taken away from them during the course of this election, I think that's led to a lot of the turmoil and fighting that you see going on now, and backbiting back and forth. But you made a lot of great points about how we got to where we are now, and ultimately I think one of the driving problems over the course of the last several decades is when it comes to politics and who we're looking to elect as president, or even senators or representatives. Sadly, even within most American evangelicalism, sadly, the driving force is not the word of God, it's their wallet and who they feel is going to help them or benefit them the most.
Yeah. No, that's absolutely true. And the name escapes me. Todd Friel just mentioned it this last week on his program, and there's a historical figure, and if you guys can remember who that is and send it to me, I'd appreciate it. But there was a professor who wrote that democracies and republics, they eventually fail when the people began to realize they can vote themselves money. And basically, if you will begin to vote for the person who will provide you with the stuff that you want, and eventually that leads to chaos, and eventually an oligarchy. People come in with an iron fist and they rule they do basically a Hitler or a Caesar, and they take control in that fashion. And I think we can definitely see that's what's happened in America. It's resulted in, we've got this deeply divided country. Nobody's listening, by the way. Nobody's listening to each other. You try to enter into any, for example, online conversation and bring in a voice of reason. You know, hat tip to this show's name. but you actually try to sound like a reasonable person, you'll get attacked by both sides. You will be gutted by both sides, and there's very rarely a person who actually will come in and appreciate what you have to say. I had a conversation yesterday where I said, praise God this woman's okay. It was a news article where a woman escaped a kidnapper. I said, praise God she was okay, and you would not believe the interesting conversations that I ended up involved in, including one person who took offense. And he found it, as he put it, repugnant that I said that God is in control of all things. And I said, well, how you feel about it, it's really kind of irrelevant whether it's true or not. And, well, I see no evidence of that. That there was no rationality there. As long as he found it repugnant, it didn't matter whether it was true or not. And that's kind of what's going on in the world right now in our nation. Nobody cares. If I say A and you say B, nobody's going to talk it out whether it's A or B. We're going to bludgeon each other until either you're defeated and you have nothing left to say, and I victoriously shout A, or the other side does the same to me. There's no discussion anymore. There's no rationality, and it that's what's happened. We are in this deeply divided nation, and it's because of what happened. And with the last several decades of these elections, and I lay this at the feet of the American Evangelical Church. Why? Because we spent a lot of time putting a ton of energy and money and a lot of other things into, we need to win moral victories in the law. We weren't saying there are lost people out there. We're saying we need to make the country moral by legislation. Now, I don't have a problem with us voting for moral laws. Rich, I know you agree. But more law does not equate to moral righteousness. The law shows us how wicked we are. So by establishing moral laws, and again, I want a law that says abortion should be is illegal. Okay, I want that. I want it abolished. But that law will not stop abortions. Do you understand that? The presence of a law will not stop somebody from doing something. That's the same thinking that says, oh, there's a sign that says gun-free zone, so no bad guys will come in here. Well, we all point out how ludicrous that concept is. All the law will do is it will act as a curb. It will curb behavior, but it will not stop the behavior. It will not bring righteousness to a land. And we created this political legalism, and it failed because we didn't establish the moral basis for it. We didn't establish the gospel as the central core of why we need to be obedient to God. And so it fails. It collapses. House of Cards collapses out from underneath us, and we're hanging on by a thread going, but we don't want Hillary, right? So in comes President, at that time, candidate Trump, grabbing on to the anger of the American public, who is just furious that they've had this force-fed progressivism rammed down their throats. And they grab him because, oh, finally, somebody who will ram it back down the other guy's throat. All you ever had to do was spend time online talking to Trump supporters. That's what they wanted it. That's what they wanted. I mean, there were some people who were reasonable, but there was a really wide swath of supporters who were just stinking mad, and they wanted to shove it back in the face of the other guys. And many people try to point out, you know, we did it on this program, the massive moral failings, the sinful behavior on Trump's part, his huge character flaws, his divorces, his support of immoral things. And it was completely ignored. Like we said, fell completely on deaf ears. And now President Trump is elected. Do we see anybody trying to unite the nation together? No. What we see is people cheering Trump for his tirades. They love his tweets. They love him snapping back. I mean, when he took... Now, there is something cathartic about watching a president, you know, snap back at the media for once. I will agree with that. But that ought not be the case. We shouldn't get that finally feeling. Because as Christians, we don't live for that kind of angst. Our lives should be lives of peace because we are... submissive to the Prince of Peace. We just want it. We want somebody who's going to rub it back in the face of these other guys, and that's how bad it's gotten. It's just this gurgh fest, and we supported that because we didn't want Hillary. We feared what was going to happen if Hillary got elected. Not everybody thought of it. There were people who had rational reasons. I talked to some of you. We had generally rational reasons. I didn't agree with you, but you had generally rational reasons. Other people, they just wanted that. They wanted that, you know, that bear in the White House that would just swap at anything that he didn't agree with. Well, that's what is supporting our president now. That angst. That's what he's riding, that wave of angst. And there were people out there who were the loud voices. And this is where my conversation on Twitter came into play. Rich, before I start running off, was there something else you wanted to add to that? I'm sorry.
Just kind of backtracking a little bit on some of what you said. Part of the problem is by the time we got to the 2016 election cycle, the fruit and the evidence of a culture-driven morality in this country is just blown sky high. I mean, American evangelicals jumped on a Trump bandwagon, not for biblical reasons, not for evangelical reasons, but for their own boxed in version of morality issues. And that's been part of the problem within this country for so long when it comes to some of these issues. First, let me say that this country is not and never has been a truly Christian country. It has been in the past a very moralistic country that adhered to the morals taught in the Word of God, but as the culture has changed and different worldviews have infiltrated within this country and different ways of thinking, that culture way of thinking, the culture has driven the morality of this country to where things like you were saying are accepted now, where everybody's, you know, truth is whatever somebody makes it. You know, if I feel it's all right for me to go out here and cheat on my wife and date a man, you know, that's my business. You should keep your mouth shut. I mean, but getting a little bit further into that is when American evangelicalism as a whole has voted and tried to keep America a moralistic country instead of a biblical, gospel-driven country. The problem is, over time, even within American evangelicals, their moralistic ideas have changed. And sadly, it was more of a point of, as long as I don't see this sin, as long as I don't have to think about this sin, and it's out of sight, it's kind of out of mind. And as long as they could stay within their predetermined little box, their, you know, little Christian box, little Christian bubble, and they didn't have to see the sin paraded and see what was in man's heart paraded on television and around the country for everyone to see, as long as they could keep it squared in that little moralistic box, they felt safe and secure. Yeah. Well, then, as you said, along comes Obama, and he's ramming all of these, you know, socialistic type of programs and ways of thinking down everyone's throat. And, you know, everyone's within American evangelicalism, that little box is getting cracked and chipped and knocked away, to where all of a sudden now they're faced full on with sin. And I think part of the problem with the anger is not so much of what they see going on, it's because of what it's forcing them to see within themselves. Because if you're speaking out against, say, Disney and the Beauty and the Beast and the whole hoopla that's going on now about the homosexuality within that Beauty and the Beast movie, the problem is, I think people get so offended and they're so, you know, outspoken against something like this, is because it's forcing them to look within themselves and see that, you know, when it comes down to it, they're being hypocritical, because they're condemning these sins of other people because it's outside of their little moralistic box, when truth is, inside their own little box, if they look at themselves, they're condemning this sin, but yet they're condoning other sins. And you cannot be okay with, you can't have an acceptable sin that fits you, but yet this sin is unacceptable because it's someone else. You know, it gets in there kind of a balance, and as a whole of being, you know, basically a hypocrite, because we do condemn these sins. We condemn abortion, we condemn homosexuality. Yes, that's true, and yes, they're bad, and yes, you know, it's sinful. But when we look at our own life, our own self, our own social media feeds, what we watch on television, what we're saying behind closed doors, what we're doing, what we're thinking, it is just as sinful in the eyes of God, brother. And I don't know if I've kind of gotten off track here or not, but what do you say?
No, I think you've actually made excellent points. And it actually goes back into what I was going to get into next. But you're absolutely right. When we attempted to make a moralistic nation, when we tried to make a righteous nation via legislation, we did not bring the gospel into it. Now, there have always been faithful preachers. You've got your R.C. Sproul's, you've got your Lincoln Duncan's, you've got your you got guys like Steve Lawson and John MacArthur and others who have faithfully preached the word, no matter who was in politics. Their job was to preach the word and equip saints. That's what they did. But evangelicalism as a whole, we weren't more concerned about winning political victories. We weren't bringing the gospel into this. And so if you don't bring the gospel, which says the liar will be in hell with the homosexual, then it's easy for me to say your sin's worse than mine. I can fib at work and say, yeah, I worked an 8-hour day when I worked a 7-hour day, and I took a, you know, an hour lunch that I didn't account for. And for seven of those hours, or out of those 7 hours that I was actually present, I spent 5 actually working and 3 goofing off. You know, that's okay, because that happens at work. But it's still lying. It's still theft. God says the liar, the thief, the idolater, the homosexual, they're all going to hell. So if you don't bring in the gospel that condemns all of that and says it doesn't matter what the government says, God says this about these things, and that you need Jesus Christ to redeem you and to save you because of your sinful heart. If you don't bring that in, then hypocrisy abounds. And that's exactly what we've seen result in that. And that now goes into what I was going to talk about what caused this conversation that got me thinking about all this. If any of you are, you know, if you're a good Christian, raise your hand because you watch Fox News, right? If we're good Christians, we watch Fox News. Sean Hannity and all those guys, right? Okay. All right. So we watch Fox News. We follow them on Twitter. We read the articles on Facebook. Here's the problem I have with Fox News. Fox News will put anybody on the screen that will start a Jerry Springer fight fest. That's what they do. Fox News is the Jerry Springer of news. They want to fight, okay? First time I watched Fox News, they would have interesting conversations. They would, you know, you used to have Hannity and Combs. And now I'm very sad to hear that, you know, Sean Combs died. Not Sean Combs. I can't remember if that's his first name. But Combs recently died. It was very tragic to hear because he was kind of a nice guy. But they would have 2 points and you would discuss it rationally. And then somewhere along the line, they realized people were really tuning in when folks shouted each other down. And it became, you know, the Jerry Springer of news. They want nothing but arguments. And so that's what's happened. And so they bring in these hot-headed people. And they took Combs out of there. Hannity got more arrogant than he ever was before. I can't stand listening to the guy. I'm sorry. I can't stand listening to Sean Hannity. The man has gotten so arrogant over the years, he doesn't even pretend to listen. Well, one of the ones that is the most crass and the most vile is Ann Coulter. I'm sorry. If you like her, I question your sanity. That woman is absolutely crass and vile. And she claims to be a conservative. And she, you know, she won't go back onto Wretched Radio. They still joke about it. Todd Frio told Ann Coulter she was wrong about the gospel. There was about a 30-second dead air because she could not believe somebody told her, had gall to tell her she was wrong. That's the type of person she is, and yet she tries to say she has Christian values, and she writes books about how the left hates religion. But this is the same woman during the election, in front of God and everyone, wrote, I don't care if they do abortions in the Oval Office, if as long as they get this immigration plan through that Trump has. During the election, took something as vile as the murder of unborn children and made that something to be less than dealing with illegal immigration. That is how vile this woman is. Folks, we as Christians should never, ever, 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 you understand, ever support Ann Coulter. For a person to say that, to say the wanton slaughter of millions of babies pales in the comparison to illegal immigration, that is the most vile thing that you can say, because you don't care if children created in the image and likeness of God are killed by the millions as long as we build a wall. That is the worst I can imagine coming from someone who's supposed to support biblical moral values. And she said it for everybody.
Chris, let me jump in for a second. Go ahead. Just kind of reinforce what I was saying a moment ago and what you've said earlier. You take Ann Coulter for an example, and she claims to have these Christian values. She, you know, I don't know if she actually claims to be a Christian or not, but it gets back to the way the world views Christianity. Here's this woman talking about Christian values, but she's a walking example of hypocrisy herself. And when non-Christians call Christians hypocrites, this is the example that they're seeing and basing those comments on. And the fact that they're listening to Ann Coulter you know, who they think is a Christian, and then they call Christians hypocrites. Well, you know, they've got every right and every reason to even say and think that based on comments such as what you just repeated that she had said when it comes to abortion.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What are we thinking supporting someone like this? So anyway, I have this habit of stepping in where angels fear to tread online sometimes. And lately, Fox News, I just looked at Twitter. They're still sharing things that Ann Coulter is saying. Since Trump was elected, they can't seem to put her on TV often enough. And so I'm an idiot, and I say to Fox News more than once, what are you doing? Quit supporting this woman. She is vile. She is crass. She is not a conservative, especially because of what she said. Well, because of I'm an idiot, I write these things, and people who are just like what we described, the Trump supporters who are running on this manic anger, will come out of the woodwork and assault me. And I pointed out just earlier this week, you need to understand, this is a woman who said abortions in the Oval Office were okay if Trump's immigration plan was put into place. One person couldn't believe it was true, and she must not have been serious. And I said she tweeted it for everyone to see. Well, I didn't know about that. I don't know how you missed it. And then another person comes in and defended what she said. I kid you not. I'm gonna read to you the tweets that this guy shared with me because he says, well, that's a rhetorical device. It was to address the how that immigration was a more important issue. And I was like, excuse me? A more important issue than the murder of children? And he absolutely stood by it 100%. He said, we should care about all immigration more than abortion. Saving our country comes first. This is a person who supported Trump and his plan. He went on to say, to quote Stephen King from Iowa, quote, we can't restore our civilization with someone else's babies. Talking about people coming across the border. I told this man, may God destroy America if that is what we believe. If you believe that life in the womb matters so little that you want them to be killed in the womb before to continue to be slaughtered in the womb daily while that wall gets built. As long as the wall gets built and we stop those illegals, that's what's going to save our country. God help you. I sent the link to our gospel page to this man. I told him, sir, your soul is in peril. I pleaded with him. You are supporting the most wicked, vile act by saying saying the agreement immigration is more important. You know what his response was? That I was the problem. That this republic and this country would be destroyed because of someone like me. Christians, that terrifies me. That utterly terrifies me. We have thrown our lot in with people like this man. Now, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to get hot under the collar, but please understand what we're saying here. By not emphasizing the gospel, how many of us actually were witnessing to the Republicans that we were voting for and rallying for? How many? I know one man who actually put a gospel tract in Donald Trump's hand. Praise God for him. Because he was part of a dignitary protection team for his law enforcement agency when that candidate came to town. Praise God for his service. Anonymous, you know who I'm talking about. Because he cared about Donald Trump's soul. But we've got people like this man who we have thrown in our lot with. And he cares more about putting a wall up to keep people from coming across the border illegally than he cares about murdered children. Please tell me you now understand what we are talking about. No righteousness will be found by establishing moral law. You might curb behavior, but you will not change the wickedness of the heart of man by winning an election. This is what we have supported. This is our legacy. American evangelicalism has created this. We are responsible for at least part of this because we cared more about elections than we cared about the lost. God, forgive us for that. Because now people like Ann Coulter are the darling of Fox News. Pray for that woman's soul. Pray for this man's soul. We have got to get our priorities straight. I have said it before and I will say it again, and sorry if you hate me for it. Donald Trump is a judgment on the American church. I am grateful it is not Hillary Clinton. Telling you that, I am grateful we have gotten a reprieve. She would bring persecution. I believe that with all my heart. But to quote Paul Washer, greatest times of growth in the church have become through persecution. Because it purifies the church. Do I want it? No. Do I want my children taken from me, kicking and screaming, and forced into some school, and me thrown in jail because I want to homeschool them? No, I don't want that. But Donald Trump had just supported the idea that God has blessed America with him, and he is one of the most immoral people we could have voted for. And the people that supported him are people like Ann Coulter. And the man that just said that murder in the womb is less important than illegal immigration. That horrifies me. And this is why I can never, ever, ever sacrifice my vote on the altar of pragmatism. Never. I can't. Rich, when we were talking about this pre-show, you made a good point about we seem to have a confusion about where our priorities are and where our citizenship lies, right?
Yeah, and I'll try to... Sadly, this may be preaching to the choir based on the ones I know of that listen to this show, but in case someone comes across this at a later time or date, or perhaps some of this may help one of our listeners help someone else, but the question really comes down, brother, is how they view themselves. As a Christian, are you a citizen of heaven or are you a citizen of the United States? Are you seeking holiness or are you just trying to avoid inconvenience? And I want to read for you starting in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Let me repeat that. Because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me, and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us, for many of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. And then reading on, I want to share from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And brothers, well, brothers and sisters that's listening, Paul did not, reading through his epistles, Paul did not have an approach to activism. Paul swore to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified to share Christ. You never read about him boycotting or protesting what was going on. All he did was proclaim Christ and leave the results to God. And it's easy to get caught up in the flesh and be more worldly minded than Christ minded, especially in our day and age. But you have got to remember, listener, that Jesus didn't say go into all the world and make activists. Jesus Christ said go into all the world and make disciples and share his life-giving word. This world will pass away, and you will pass away, but we have to be a good steward of the salvation God has given us if indeed we're saved, because we're to focus and obey Christ on what is good and holy and teach the word of God and share the gospel. And as Christians, we must forsake worldly wisdom and political wisdom and concentrate on the things of Christ and God and sharing his wonderful word of the gospel, brother.
Amen. Amen. Folks, please do not misunderstand Rich and I in this. Said at the beginning of the show, we want Christians to be involved. We have this unique opportunity in this nation to actually have a direct voice by electing representatives. And I mean, I had a conversation with a person one time who disagreed about, you know, with the GOP having a stance on moral issues. And I said, well, hold on a second. He says, I'm a citizen of this country, correct? Yeah. And this is my faith informs everything that I do. You know, every thought, word, and deed is informed by my faith. So where I stand on these issues is informed by my faith. Do I not then have the right to elect someone who has that same perspective? And it left him, you know, paused to think about that. And the final conclusion on that matter was that they still felt, well, the GOP, they you know, government has to represent everybody. Okay, but so I, as a Christian, I don't get to have a voice because other people don't agree with that? No, that's wrong. Absolutely wrong. I have a right to do that. But Christians have made a mistake for decades in believing that because we have that right to elect those representatives, that somehow electing people who will pass moral legislation would somehow bring about a Christian utopia of some kind. Because if we got the laws passed, then the bad things wouldn't happen. And along the way, we neglected our duty to the gospel. Because those people we are electing, those people need Christ too. Very few people who are in government are Christians. Very few will even admit it, if they are. But very few are genuinely bought by the blood Christians. So if you're throwing your lot in with them, what you're saying is, I know you're not saved, but I want you to support what I believe in as a Christian and forward this, and then expect them to actually uphold it and to be motivated by a value system that they themselves are not in, because they are in Adam, not in Christ. They're still dead in the trespasses and sins. Is there any wonder why this has failed? And I'm sorry, but you know, I like Franklin Graham, nice guy, but that man greatly disappointed me when I actually had an opportunity to see him speak. And what he encouraged people to do was Christians get involved in government. I didn't hear that man at all say Christians preach the gospel. Horrified me. His father was supposed to be this great evangelist. And he's done these great things and has taught great things. But then he turns around and says, but you know what, the real solution is Christians need to get in government. No, the solution's the gospel, Franklin. It's the gospel. What were you thinking? And Christians, that's what we've done. We've traded our birthright for a crust of bread. Our citizenship is in heaven. Rich, you're absolutely right. Paul's mindset is the upward call of Christ. Our citizenship is not here, it's in heaven. We have a secondary citizenship while we live in this world. But our primary citizenship is heaven. And that's what we should be, our goal should be, is to see souls redeemed so that they join us, glorifying God in the heavenlies. But instead, we sold that birthright for a crust of bread. And now we've thrown our lot in with people who will equivocate murder with illegal border crossing and will chastise you because how dare you care more about the life of a baby than this nation. That's where we're at. I want Christians, Rich, I know you do too, want Christians to be involved in the electoral process. Please do. But that is, at best, a tertiary issue when you think about what we as Christians are called to do. Because if you're going to respond to me and say, well, we can't do those things if we don't have someone like Trump in the White House, I challenge you with, how do they do it in North Korea? How do they do it in the Middle East? How do they do it in China, where their birthright for being a Christian is jail or death? How do they do it? They only have God. I think that's all we need. And I think we need to get our priorities straight. And it's time we as Christians quit compromising. And we make the upward call of God through Jesus Christ our goal. Rich, any closing thoughts?
Just as I close out each week and ask everyone to make it a point to share the gospel at least once a day, especially if you're on social media. I've spent this week going through Facebook and Twitter feeds, and what few times I see the gospel shared, it's generally by the same three or four people. So at least for this week, make it a point to share the gospel every day, at least online, if you're not handing out a tract or having a one-to-one conversation with someone else, brother.
Amen. Amen. Folks, sharing the gospel is scary. But we don't have to be street evangelists to do it. Rich is absolutely right. You can share the gospel with a gospel tract. You can share it by sharing a link. You know, we had Pastor Emilio Ramos on. They got a great gospel video called Unpopular. You can go unpopularthemovie.com. Post that everywhere. Wretched Radio has a great gospel DVD. You can just give it to people. Leave it for places to be picked up. 1 million tracks. Gospel Track Planet have fantastic gospel track resources. Living Waters, fantastic gospel track resources. They're out there. And all you have to do is pick up a pack of 100 and leave them in places people will find them. We're not asking you to be the next Ray Comfort. You don't have to be. But you can be faithful to give the gospel to at least one person, right? You can be faithful to raise your children with the understanding that they need Jesus Christ, right? You can be faithful to pray for your elected leaders, not that they would vote what you want them to vote, but that they would repent and put their faith in Jesus Christ, right? Next time you want to send them a letter, send them a gospel tract with it. Maybe they'll read it. Maybe they'll get saved. And we don't want them saved so it'll be a better government. We want them saved so they'll be in heaven. Because that elected leader, outside of Christ, they're going to hell. And I don't care if they gave you everything you ever voted for. They're going to hell. Ann Coulter is probably on her way to hell. You stop to think about that? And all these people that we want moral victory over because they support immoral things, they're on their way to hell. Do you understand my emphasis now? They're on their way to hell. because they are sinners, dead in trespasses and sins. They are in Adam. They have a sin nature. They are not pleasing to God in any way, shape, or form, whether they agree with us or not. They are condemned. And you were too at one point, until someone was faithful to God and obedient and shared the gospel with you. That is our upward call. Jesus Christ and Him alone can do anything to redeem this nation. And it will not be won by political victories. And I will say it again. May God destroy the United States of America if we care more about illegal border crossings than the lives of baby in the womb. And that's where people are at right now. That's how bad it is, folks. So please find a sinner this week and share the gospel with them. Please. As we say each and every week, whatever you do this week, do it for the glory of God. God bless you. Good night.